Take Podcast. I'm your host, George Poulos. This is episode 2. It is Tuesday, January 21st, 2020. And we have a lot to talk about, especially with the NFL playoffs coming to a conclusion. The Chiefs and the 49ers will be playing today, or for the Super Bowl. And yeah, let's get started. All right, first topic of the day, we're going to recap the conference title games. So important. It was two kind of anticlimactic games. Let's start with the Chiefs game, which I was obviously wrong. I'm kind of a Chiefs hater. I just really don't like the fans in that for that franchise. I respect the franchise a lot and what they've been through, but I don't like them. Mahomes was all world. The Titans couldn't do what they wanted to do. Henry was kept to 80 yards. It kind of showed, you know, someone was going to stop and figure it out at some point. Tannehill isn't going to take you very far with that. So, you know, it is what it is. Move on. You know, it kind of went the way I thought it would if the Chiefs would win. Mahomes is going to have to put up some big numbers. They're going to have to keep pushing the ball down the field, and the defense is going to have to do something. And they did. And you know what? Good for you guys, Chiefs fans. We'll see what happens. I'll applaud. You know? There's nothing more to say. It was pretty apparent that besides that first quarter, Ryan Tannehill was basically not a factor whatsoever in that game. So it is what it is. My big take away from it is Titans have a lot of good pieces. They need a quarterback. Something we'll talk about later is with Brady. Could that be a destination for him? It works out pretty well. They've got guys like A.J. Brown, Corey Davis. They have a great offensive line, and they obviously have a great running back. Also, one of their other running backs, Deion Lewis, who played with Brady in New England. So that would be an interesting one. What's next for Tannehill? I think he'll be going back to being a backup. He might get like the Case Keenum thing where he might get like some kind of deal. Someone will overpay for him. Probably John Elway. and yeah, that's probably what's next for him. He's probably going to be a journeyman from here. You don't see this very often at all. So we probably won't see him being a big factor anywhere else. But, you know, you never know. We'll see what happens with him. Going on to the other game, of course. And, I mean, wow. Green Bay, you know, the whole season the thing was, why is this team winning? Because it seemed like they always were the team that, in some way, they found a way to win games that they probably shouldn't have won. Being a Bears fan, I'm a little salty. We should have beat them twice. Opening night, we couldn't get anything going, but we held them 13 points. And we have Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback. Not a great offensive line, so I'm sorry, but I was pissed off about that. Also, the second game, we should have, you know, we had that miraculous last play that should have gone in for a touchdown. But that's neither here or there. Take the Cowboys game in the regular season, for instance. They go up 31-3 in Dallas, in Jerry World. And then they only lose by like 10 points, I believe. They let Dak come back. It just doesn't, it never made sense to me. And I think that really showed, especially in this game, they could not stop the run, which, you know, isn't that all that surprising? They were getting pass rush all the time, all year long, but they couldn't get this one. So, you know what? I didn't really know what to take about it. You know, the story of the game was Raheem Mostert. That guy, you know, he's been through a lot. I think he's been through 7 teams in 5 years. And one of those teams was the 49ers, who actually, I believe, released him last year. Don't quote me on that. But he was released by the 49ers and then picked up later this year. So, you know, you never know when your shots can be called. And with Corey Coleman going down, you know, it worked out for him, and looks like he's going to have a chance to start in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a lifelong dream of anyone who's ever played football would know. Growing up, that was the dream, playing the Super Bowl. You know, get the NFL and then play in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I mean, that was the story of the game. Garoppolo threw 8 times. Because he didn't... Why? Why pass? There was absolutely no reason to pass. So, you know, there's not really that much to take on Garoppolo. I think he's good. I kind of equate him just to a game manager, kind of like an early Russell Wilson. We saw that. He was good. He's not gonna amaze you with numbers, or he's not gonna be the it factor into why they win. But he does a good job being clutch, and he makes the throws he needs to make. Now, could Garoppolo potentially develop into an MVP type player at quarterback? I think yes. I think that we're going to see him continue to develop. When you have a defense like that, you have a coaching staff like that, and a running game like that, why throw it 35 times a game when you can get by with 22, run the ball like 30 times as a team, and play great defense with that front seven and Richard Sherman in the secondary? So as of right now on Garoppolo, he's a good player. Is he a great quarterback? No, not yet. He's a middle of the pack guy. He's a top 12 quarterback. He's just on the brim of being a top 10 guy. He just hasn't done enough yet on his own without all the pieces. I just don't know if I can say he is. Now, let's get to the topic that everyone seems to be talking about this week. Is Aaron Rodgers done? Is he not an elite quarterback anymore? And you know what? As a Bears fan, I am so happy to say this. He is. He is washed up. He is not going to ever be that bad man, like Stephen A. Smith likes to say. You know, it's, you know, I you have to still admire the great career that he's had. But if you really look at it this year, he wasn't the same guy. The touchdown to interception ratio was great. I think it was 26-4, but you could just tell the offense. I mean, if you look at the offensive rankings, they're in the 20s in all facets. Points scored per game, rushing yards is higher than passing yards. So like 22nd in the league in passing yards. So that's like, you know, he averaged, I think, like 208 a game. That's not the Aaron Rodgers that we know. That's not that bad man. So, you know, he's going to continue to regress. It's going to be like Peyton Manning. He's going to surround himself with great talent. They get more wide receivers. They get a better offensive line. They'll be fine. The defense has got to be better. We'll see what happens. It's a tough division. You still got Chicago there with a great defense. Potentially, if the offense can figure it out with Trubisky, it's a good team. The Lions are the Lions. And the Vikings are going to run the ball and play great defense. They're always a tough team to beat. It's not going to get any easier for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And, you know, they've been blessed with two back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I just don't know if this is the beginning of the end yet. We'll see what happens next year. But it seems to be pointing towards the beginning of the end of Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers that we know. Now, he's still in his early to mid-40s. He still has a few more years left. We'll see what happens. But is he going to be as graceful as, like, say, Tom Brady or Drew Brees? That's kind of a wait-and-see approach. But as of right now, he is not an elite quarterback anymore with his arm. Now, with his legs and with his ability as just a master of the game, with his intelligence, yeah, he can do what Brady does. Use your mind, play mind games with the defense, use others' abilities to help you instead of using your own, because he has gotten by with athletic ability, and that is the reason why he is starting to see this regression, because he can't do it anymore. He can't do these ridiculous throws on the run. He can't do all this stuff that Mahomes is doing that he did 10 years ago. It's just not possible when you get to that age, when you're starting to get to that middle age. It's just your body starts giving up on you. So, yeah, I mean, he's a great player, obviously. Got a lot of respect, but as a Bears fan, I just can't stop smiling. Like, if you guys can see me right now, I'm ear to ear, seriously, with a grin. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it's always sad to see a player go through that, but I mean, yeah, it was great watching that game. Yeah. Let's go on to this next topic. Are the Chiefs the new kings in the AFC? It seems to point towards this. I'm still interested to see what the Ravens do. Now, the reason the Ravens lost this game, I really believe, is they just weren't ready. They were young, and all the starters hadn't played since week 16. So it's about two and a half, three weeks of not getting hit. While the Titans were, you know, this team of destiny, they were playing hard, nor was football, you know, old-fashioned, we're going to run up the gut, we're going to play great defense, blah, blah, blah. I think they'll be back. I'm interested to see what the Browns do as well. I think there's a lot of good teams in the AFC, but, you know, if I had to pick a team, I think I'm still going to roll with the Ravens here. And I know I know I'm kind of a hater with the Chiefs, but the one thing about the Chiefs is their defense just does not scare me that much. They have a good bend but don't break defense. They'll take away some things, but you can still score on them. I mean, the Titans still scored 24 points in this game. The Ravens still dropped a lot of points on them too. I'm just not sure yet. I really don't know. The AFC, I feel like, is more up for grabs than it ever has been. It's going to be more like the NFC, where it's not just like one team you know for sure is going to get in there. Because, like, the last 10 years, if you bet on the Patriots, you probably, there's a good chance you were going to win that bet. Kansas City, that defense, we don't know. It's not good enough yet. It improved so much, but, you know, it's been shaky in certain instances. So, I don't know. The thing, and we'll talk later about the Super Bowl matchup, is even going against a team like the 49ers, you can't just stop the run. You guys, then Jimmy G can throw it over the top of you, too. They got good wide receivers. They got a great offensive line. They know what they're doing. Kyle Shanahan is a master at the offensive scheme. I mean, yeah, I don't know if I could say they're the new kings, but they're definitely still in that, going to be in that threshold. They're still going to be a lot of people's favorites to win the AFC. The AFC West is pretty much theirs for the taking, so they're almost always going to be guaranteed a playoff spot, depending on what happens with the Denver Broncos, depending on what happens with a lot of other people. You know, it's going to be exciting to see. I think we're going to get really into a really fun and exciting time for NFL, especially just because of the end of the Patriots dynasty, which is so, feels so good to say. It's just, yeah. And my buddy Ben, if you're listening, I know you're probably shaking your head. He's a Patriots fan, everybody. We'll see what happens. All right. Speaking of that, what about we flip it? Is this the start of a 49ers dynasty? I actually think yes. I'll give you three reasons why. First, 49ers have a great head coach, and he also calls the plays. Really, really great. Knows what he's doing. He's already taken the team to the Super Bowl, won an MVP, or his quarterback won an MVP in 2016, Matt Ryan. Okay, so you got the coach. You have the franchise quarterback. Is he Patrick Mahomes? Is he like the best in the game? No. But will he win you games? Yes. Will he do the things you need to do? Will he make the throws when he absolutely needs to? Yes, that's all you need. You have a great offensive line. You have a great defensive line, which is even more important. And also, even more importantly, they are healthy and they are young. Great running game. That is what you need to win Super Bowls. It's going to be pretty hard to stop San Francisco in the next 5 years. And that's saying a lot, especially in the NFL. We haven't seen that in other teams except for the Patriots. Now, the question is, can they keep getting there? We don't know. This is the most successful 49ers have been since they fired Harbaugh. We'll see. You know, we'll see. I don't know. And I'll obviously get more deep into the Chiefs and the 49ers when we preview the Super Bowl. Right now, I'm just talking the future, the next 5 years. I would expect two more conference championships. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. And, you know, if you think that is, go on the Facebook page and call me out. Hot Take Podcast. It's at Hot Take Podcast. 95 on Facebook. You know, call me out. I want to hear what you guys think. But I really do believe, I think the 49ers are just a more complete team, and they're younger. Just seems like, you know, there's this really, really young team, especially on that defensive line. I mean, if you look at those guys are all been drafted by the 49ers in the last 4 years. That's insane. Great job by Jordan. John Lynch. Two completely different people. So I think, you know, that's my hot take of the day. I think the 49ers have a better chance of getting a dynasty, which, if you don't know, dynasties are winning at least 3 Super Bowls in a condensed time period. So you win 3 out of 4, or you win 3 out of 5. That's a dynasty. So we'll see what happens with that. But I really think that's something you're going to see in the future. All right, and this next question is, Brady, is he going to leave or is he going to stay at the New England Patriots? Now, I've actually posted a poll on the Facebook page. If you want to give your thoughts, you can comment and you can vote. It's literally just, is he going to leave or is he going to go to another team? I believe he's going to the Chargers. I think he's sick of all the excuses of the front office not getting the enough players, which is Belichick. I think he's going to the Chargers. I could see the Titans too. Like I was saying before, it makes a lot of sense. You could even keep Ryan Tannehill there if you really wanted to. But it makes a lot of sense. They have a great running game. Chargers, the only bad thing is they don't have really an offensive line. They have a great defense, a lot of good young core there, and their wide receiver core is all world. You're talking about Keenan Allen, a young Mike Williams from Clemson. I think he'll be only in his 3rd year. It's wide open, or he'll be in his 4th year, excuse me. And, you know, you have a aging Travis Benjamin, but he's a beast as well. The Titans, you have A.J. Brown, you have Corey Davis, you have a great offensive line, you have Derrick Henry, you have Deion Lewis, who he worked with before. Not only that, Mike Vrabel, your head coach, you know, they're buddies. They like each other. They know how each other like to work. They are a good combination for this. I really think a lot of people are saying Chargers, they go Chargers right away because it looks like Phillip Rivers is done. But I don't know. I think the Titans are better. But you know what? I can see him saying as a Patriot too. Let me know what you think. I'm taking Titans. That's what I will put my money on. If you guys think no, and if you guys think I'm crazy, tell me it. Comment. Do something. Alright, and that's all we have for NFL today. We're going to move on to the NBA. My biggest question is Luka for real? I don't know. He's putting up the numbers, but again, with a player like this, you want to see it in the big moments, and we're not going to be able to get that until until we get to the playoffs. He's going to have to go through the Western Conference, and then I think he'll get some more credibility. It's just that, you know, he's on the Mavs, and, you know, they're beating teams, and, you know, they lost to the Lakers. He's putting up numbers, you know, he's putting up MVP-like numbers, but with guys like this, I need to see it in the high-range moments. Can you make a difference? Can you be that guy? Can you be that Jordan? Can you drop 45 when you need to? Can you get those rebounds? Can you get those assists? It just depends on what he does in the playoffs. So at this moment, I'm going to say no. I want to see it in the playoffs. On the high-range moments, that's all I usually take from the NBA. I think the playoffs just heighten everything. You know, NBA playoffs is such a big deal. So, my opinion, again, comment if you think I'm wrong. Give me your take. Should LeBron be higher in the NBA MVP voting? And actually, you know what? I am a Lakers fan, but I'm usually kind of lower on LeBron just because he always would get MVPs, especially when he was in his prime. I actually think yes. I mean, if you look at the numbers, 25 points per game, 10 assists, 7 rebounds a game, and then last year he was 27-7-7. I mean, that's pretty damn good, and he's doing, I understand. He's got Anthony Davis, but he is doing it a lot of the times on his own, too. I don't know. It just seems like it. But, you know, there's a lot of great players out there this year, too. So, you know, I think he deserves to be higher up there. But, you know, I'd still say having Anthony Davis on that does not help his MVP discussion. Unfortunately, the Clippers are still the team to beat. They still have Kawhi's playing great. You know, they're doing a good job of low management. Their bench is all world. It just, it seems pretty tough. Now, in a 7-game series, the battle for LA, I don't know. I think the Lakers might have a leg up, but it's pretty hard to tell because their bench, I really think the Lakers need to be able to get somebody that can close for them. Kind of like a Van Fleet on the Raptors last year. He's going to come off the bench. He's going to get you 15 points, a few threes. But he's going to make those clutch shots in the fourth quarter. You need someone to come in the fourth. Is that Kyle Kuzma? I believe no. So, you know, it's something like the Clippers have. They have guys who come off the bench, and they make plays for them in the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter. If you look at both of those Lakers games, they've had those guys that have been coming off the bench, making those high-range moments. And that's what you need in the NBA today. You can't rely on just star power alone. It can't happen anymore. So, you know, I think that is the key, and right now the Clippers have that, so the Clippers are the number one team in the West, even though they have a worst record. And last question I want to pose today, and this will be the end of the podcast. Low management, is it good for the game or is it bad? I actually believe it's good. Is it good for TV sales? Not necessarily. It's, you know, it's tough saying that, you know, as a former athlete and someone who works out quite a bit. Load management in basketball is so smart. The most the NBA makes during the season is either All-Star Weekend or during the playoffs. You want your players to be healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. It seems like it's way better. I mean, you might not get the first seed, you know, like look at the Clippers. The Clippers, if Kawhi played every game, they would get the first overall seed, probably, for the West. The reason the Lakers have it is because LeBron and AD do not participate in load management. So the Clippers do lose some games that they're really not supposed to lose, you would think. Because either they have Kawhi on there or they have Paul George. Never one or the other play together so far this season, or not for very long. And it's really smart. I actually believe it's good for the NBA. I really believe that because you're gonna get the best of the best during the playoffs when it really matters, when everyone is watching. Most people don't start watching the NBA until after the NFL season. You know why? Because the NFL is the dominant force in America, is the number one sport in America, and it has been for over 20 years, ever since the end of the Jordan era. The golden age of the NBA era was over 30 years ago. That's saying a lot. So I think actually even shortening the NBA season could be very beneficial for them. So in conclusion, yeah, load management is good. It helps players. And actually, guys like LeBron should do it way more often because they might be hurting themselves in the future. If you want LeBron to be LeBron that we are used to in the playoffs, man, he's 35 years old. He's getting up there. He's got it. I think he needs to start doing it. I think a lot of other players like Giannis need to start doing it. Luka needs to start doing it. A lot of guys need to start doing it. I really believe that. And you know what? It's hard to say. It's hard to say that because I love when players, you know, play all 82 games. I love when they do this. But you know what? With injuries nowadays, it's just not realistic. I think it's actually going to be smarter and more beneficial for a lot of teams to start doing this, and I think the NBA should put in the rule book that you're allowed to do it, and it's okay. Well, with that, guys, we're in about 24 minutes. That's going to be today's episode. Like I said, we have a Facebook page. You can look up Hot Take Podcast or Hot Take Sports. It should come up. You can also just go up and do at Hot Take Sports 95. You can find me on Instagram at GreekFreak95. I don't post a lot, but I'm on there. You can hit me up on the DM, and we can talk, you know. If you guys, we're going to try to start doing mailbag too. My email is gpoulos, P-O-U-L-O-S, Mitchell64@gmail.com. Send me some stuff, and I might use it. If you guys send me questions, I'll answer them right here on the podcast. Yeah, and that's going to be today's episode. I will be here next week previewing the Super Bowl and whatever crazy stuff happens, because there's always something happening in sports. You guys have a great day, and I'm out.